Some things shouldn't be transparent, like stop signs. But what you pay for should always be clear, like Hiller's True Transparency Pricing, always clearly itemized and never any hidden fees. Because you have the right to know what you're paying for. For more information, visit happyhiller.com/true-transparency-pricing. Happy you'll be, or the service is free.
Call the Happy Face Truck today.
Now, the Midday 180 rolls on as we talk Titans with number 26, Logan Ryan. From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Logan Ryan Show.
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's, the Logan Ryan Show underway. Number 26 in studio with us. Great to have you back in. 1-1 on the season now after the win at home against Houston. The offense suffering from a number of key injuries. And Logan, I thought the defense set the tone in this game with the blitz early, with some of the pass rush early. You guys knew you could get to him based on what you'd seen on film, and it clearly worked. Well done.
Appreciate it, man. It feels a lot better this Tuesday than I felt last Tuesday, I'll tell you that.
We started the conversation on this game the same place every time. We got to go there with you. I mean, from what I heard, the Wildcat stuff's being drawn up and quote-unquote installed after you guys were finished with your practice week. It seems to me Vrabel had insight into a ton of these guys from his 4 years there. Tajay told me every tip and hint that he gave worked. They pulled out all the stops for a plan on a day where you guys are down to 4 and 5 at tackle, number 2 at quarterback, and minus Delaney. I mean, I don't have a doubt that you guys are bought into Mike Vrabel and his staff. But after that, what are you thinking about those
guys? I
think
you guys are starting to buy in. I think Vrabel did. The whole coaching staff did a great job of coaching, giving us a chance to compete in that game, giving us some great strategy and some insight on what he knows. And I told you, Vrabel was a great leader of men. And, you know, coaching, you only get judged on your record. So obviously wins are going to go a lot better, but he's been laying that foundation for us to be a tough, strong, fundamentally sound football team. And I think playing good defense, running the ball, I think is kind of what our team's built to do. And I think we did a good job of believing in that and doing that. And I think it shows that it wins games.
It was a matchup of coach versus coach that knew each other. Yeah. And watching the game early, you could say, okay, Bill O'Brien knows exactly what Mike Vrabel's going to do. He was his employee for a time, so the Texans are going to look confident. But I saw the flip side of that. Vrabel clearly knowing the Texans' personnel, especially on defense. You guys you never look not confident going into a game, but especially in this game, there seemed to be an air of confidence in what you guys were going to do in that game against that Texans team. Did you feel that all week?
I did. I feel like we had a great job of knowing exactly who their personnel was, just playing those guys twice a year. We know that the receivers were. We knew who the running backs were. And we knew the inside of their scheme and stuff from Vrabel being there. We're just seeing it on film. I think the biggest difference is between week one and two, an improvement of a team. When you go into week one, when you go into a game like Miami, we don't know what Miami's going to run. Just like teams don't know what we're going to run the first game because they don't show anything in preseason. So we're preparing for stuff that we saw 2 years ago on film. And it's almost like, there's so much, you just got to play the game. You got to play week one, and week one's kind of funky in the NFL. But then you get into week two, and as the season goes on, people have their tendencies, people have what they like to do. I think Vrabel 100% outcoached Bill O'Brien in that game, and I think we were very prepared. It was simple, and we played fast. And our whole thing was everyone's probably picking us to lose because of the injury.
No, they were.
It is what it is. You know, we hear it. So why not go out there and show them what we got? And, you know, people are picking us to lose anyway, so you're not going to lose a lot of games when you have a good defense. And at the end of the day, if you don't let up points, it's going to be hard to lose.
You had a phenomenal blitz and sack early in the game when you guys were doing a lot of tone setting. Talk us through it. Who's the guy you think is going to pick it up? As you're getting there untouched, what's going through your head?
They can't pick it up. We knew that. I knew that
numbers game.
They would slide the protection away from me. In that formation, we kind of knew that me and Arakpo would be free, and me and Rack ran a stunt that they didn't see coming, and they would rather block 98 and 26, and I got my sack off that. So it was a good play call. We had a good call to their play, And I just knew I'm going to come free. Just don't mess it up and time it up. And I think I was able to time up the snap, had their cadence.
Another great play call was the fake punt, but didn't look so good during the preparation week to hear you tell it.
No. KB looked horrible. It looked like he was throwing punts.
end all, over end.
And kickoffs. It was bad. We've been preparing it. We had that play prepared. And we said, look, if they're not going to cover our gunners, we're going to throw it. Because I think we said last year, every time the teams did that, we brought our gunners in to protect the punt. Because they could block the punt because they're bringing their guys in to block the punt. And we just said, you know, we're going to snap it and throw it. And if we get the look, we're going to throw it. And it was the first punt of the game. And our special teams coordinator, Coach Aukerman, called it. And he's done a great job. He scored 2 touchdowns in special teams in 2 weeks. So, I mean, it's credit to our whole staff. Credit KB. One thing KB said is watch how I throw it on Sunday. So KB's a gamer. We know that. We've seen him. He's all pro. And he threw it better on Sunday, and it worked. And I'm very surprised and pleasantly, I don't want to say surprised, I'm happy that Dane caught the ball and scored because he showed us some good things there. We don't know what the rookie had.
How was he looking at practice with it?
How was he looking?
He couldn't get the ball, apparently.
Did he practice it better than Byard, or were there no balls catchable?
I don't think he ever threw it to Dane in practice. I think it was always going the other way. I think KB had an option.
Was it Sims on the other side?
Yeah, so I think it was going to our boy Mouse. But you
that
know,
would have been a hell of an interview after the
right,
game.
Right, exactly.
Did he ever get a catchable pass?
Who?
Sims in practice?
I mean, they're getting caught, but they're just not pretty. And that was KB's best ball. He saved it. He saved his one good pass for game day.
Timing up the blitz on your sack. You creep up last minute, but it's not like you're hiding it because Arakpo turns around and says something to you.
Yeah, me and Rackbar are talking about
it. Yeah, so you know which way you're going, which way he's going.
Yeah.
But you also, is that taking advantage of youth at quarterback too, that you could creep up the way you did and actually get the blitz in? Or like take us through the actual fundamentals of that play.
Well, the quarterback's got to slide a protection a certain way. And based on that formation, it makes sense to slide it. You know, I'm the least likely person to come in that formation just based on threats that are in front of them. So they're sliding it strong, and I was on the weak side. We'll put it like that.
Okay.
So me timing it is something I do a lot in practice. When I want to go, I just go. And you know,
thought about it. You flinched at first. You hesitated, then
I didn't think I was going to time up that perfect. So yeah. I watch a lot of film, and we talk about it, and people are like, well, what do you watch, you know, whatever, 20 hours of film a week about? And it's seeing when they snap the ball. They're on the road. They're not using a cadence. Our crowd is loud, so they have to do a silent count. When they do a silent count, the guard taps the center, and then once he taps the center, the center looks between his legs and snaps the ball. So once the guard tapped the center, I'm gone. Because at that point, the ball has to be snapped. It doesn't have to be, but I knew when the guard tapped the center for the most part early in the game, it wasn't going to be on 2, it wasn't going to be on 3. They were going to snap the ball. So at that point, Deshaun, it was too late for him to change it. So
didn't know where to go.
So once he tapped it, I'm gone, and it timed up pretty well and it parted like, you know, Red Sea.
Yeah, everyone's, and rightfully so, discussing the fake punt, getting up 14-0 and making some big plays. But I thought Casey sack on the opening possession, where Watson had room to work with. It was 3rd and long, but it was room to pick up the first down if Casey doesn't follow him and track him down. And then your sack came right after a 20-yard run by Miller. They were gaining some steam and getting into your territory, and it really backed them up. Is that the drive where they missed the field goal, the long field goal, or is that later? I can't remember. Yeah, but anyway, I thought the 2 sacks really set them back, because all week in Houston, the talk had been about their pass protection against New England.
Yeah.
And first 2 drives, their pass protection failed them again.
Yeah.
So that doubt had to creep in.
I think they wanted to get the ball out of his hand, go empty, quick throws, get him back in rhythm. You know, I was hearing or feeling that. I feel like they wanted to get him back in his groove. And, you know, he hasn't faced a lot of adversity at quarterback because he's been so successful in his career. He's a really good player. So we just had to come and hit him in the mouth early with some blitzes, with some things like that. Like, this was like a, you know, we're going for it. We're going for the win. And I think that's the type of team that we have. And I think that's the type of year it's going to be, is like, we got to go and get these wins. We can't just sit there and make excuses and feel sorry for the Tennessee Titans anymore. Like, those days are done. We're out here. We're playing players. We're bringing big players to Tennessee to win championships, to win divisions. And we won the most games in our division last year. And we want to continue to do that.
Who do you think is flying the highest right now off of that game? Byard for the pass, Cruikshank on the catch, or Adoree's interception? First of his career.
Yeah, we're all flying pretty high. I think that was huge for Adoree. Adoree is a guy that is capable of leading the league in interceptions. I mean, he has great ball skills. He's a punt returner. He's an offensive player.
Trap guy, too. You can see it there.
He's a great athlete. He's got great ball skills. So I think that was huge for Adoree to get that one. And it was a great play. I mean, not too many people go up on DeAndre Hopkins' head and catch a ball. So that just shows you. And I think it's going to set up for a good year. But that's what we've been preparing for. We've been preparing for a good year. And I think everybody, part of MMCMB, had a good day and helping us win.
You're a basketball guy. How would you rate the hang time from Adoree Jackson on that play?
Adoree, it was pretty impressive. Like I said, not too many people go up on him. And I don't think people realize how high Adoree can jump. Like his whole running backflip thing he's doing is just, if I try to do a backflip next to Adoree, we would look like completely different. Like we don't belong in the same league.
Could you do a backflip?
Like a trampoline with him.
Huh?
Could you do a backflip?
We'll see. I don't know.
Sounds like a touchdown.
I haven't tried one in a long time.
Interception this week at Jacksonville. He may try one, Paul.
Remind people about MMCNB.
There you go. My man catch no balls. That's just our motto. That's what we stand for, and we want to make everything tough. And we feel like we have a good group, and we want to prove it every week. And so that's what it stands for. But that's what our crew's called.
Your drive home just got better. The Big Six with Jason Martin, weeknights at 6 on 104.5 The Zone.
Watson empties the backfield. Titans coming with a blitz up the middle. Watson in trouble. Sacked! Oh, that's Logan Ryan!
Midday 180, served up by Wendy's. It's the Logan Ryan Show. Sack courtesy there of Titans Radio.
So the Twitter universe during that
Logan,
game.
You've been waiting on that call, right?
I've been waiting on Mike Keith's sack call, you know?
There you go.
I've been
it's waiting. Pretty sweet. We'll make that your ringtone. That'll go over big in the locker room.
I told those guys, Finch and some and Harold, if they want to learn how to get a sack or go to my pass rushing summit, I might open it up for them.
That'd be so great. Then the next day, one of them, if they were wise enough, would come over and hold the interception summit.
Paul, you're gonna go out to practice. The Logan's gonna have his hand in the dirt.
Dirt, yeah.
There,
yeah. Working against the sled. The Twitterverse is going crazy during that game about how far off you guys were playing. Oh, they're so far off. They're so far off. They're so far off. I actually started to tweet on the snap. I noticed that you guys are up. And lo and behold, 39-yard touchdown with Butler in coverage. Is that a complete coincidence? I said, you know, hey, you guys all won it up. There was up, and look what happened. Is that a complete coincidence that happens on that? Is that was that Fuller? Is that did Fuller win that? Tell us about off versus on. And I'm sure you hear the same thing from a lot of fans. They go crazy with cushion. Explain it.
I mean, they're both they both have their pros and cons, but at the end of the day, you don't want the guy to catch the ball in either. You know, it's kind of just because you play off doesn't mean you'll never get beat deep, because they might run a hitch and go on you. And they run all these out routes, and then you jump out route and they run out and up. So at the end of the day, our goal is to be on body, which means we want to be close enough to the receiver to make plays on the ball. And if a guy catches the ball deep, and we don't make a play on the ball, then it's like, oh, why are we up? Why are we up? Or why are we off? At the end of the day, our job is to make them not catch the ball. They get paid too. They're going to make some. I think the goal of that game was, based on last year, that we figured that they were going to come out with Fuller healthy, try to take some shots. They're going to try to throw the ball deep, throw the ball around the yard, try to get whatever, 500 yards passing or whatever they're going to do. And, we wanted to make sure that you know, they caught the ball in front of us and we tackled them. Because at the end of the day, if you don't give up points, you don't give up big plays and penalties, you're going to play good defense. And we're not trying to give up the big play and stuff like that. So, yeah, we gave up one. It is what it is. I think the coverage got tighter as the day went on. But, we were trying to get them out of rhythm.
Vrabel was a little bit cryptic there. He said, still trying to figure out at the top of the route what the guy's allowed to do. I think he's talking Fuller there with arm extended. Is there a lack of clarity about what exactly he can do and get away with and how you guys need to react to that?
They're not going to ever call offensive pass interference. So you can't expect it. You just got to play through it. And, you know, we know, I've said it you know, it is what it is. I said it that, you know, the game is set up to score points. There's, you know, penalties on defense a lot more than offense. Big yardage and pass interference and stuff. You're not going to get called OPI for a guy pushing off. We got to fight through it as DBs. And, I mean, that's why they pay us the money to make those plays and deal with that.
Let's look at it from a league view, Logan. The NFL passer ratings, Paul, you sent this stat to us last night.
It's amazing.
Through the roof to begin the season. Through 2 weeks. I'll take that back. Sunday. Sunday's passer rating average was 105.
Wow.
105 passer rating. Aaron Rodgers' career passer rating is 103.9. So that tells you where the league is right now just to start the season.
And the one thing that drives that number down is interceptions, which tells you there haven't been that many interceptions.
But the rules are set up for this. I immediately see a stat like that, and I wonder, is there just more short passing going on? You know, completions, easy dump offs, and then let your playmakers do the work. Are you noticing more of that trend across the league?
That's a copycat league. I mean, half the coordinators in this league are just running what other people run and calling it their own, right? That's football. So the last year was all about the RPO. We talk about the run pass option. The Philadelphia Eagles won a Super Bowl running it majority of the time. So now, instead of running the ball 40 times a game, they're pulling the ball out of the running back's stomach and throwing a slant. All the linemen are downfield blocking a run play. It's a legal forward pass, but they don't call it. And now you're getting these little slants to your playmakers and an opportunity to make plays. So that's why you do a touch pass on a little motion, and that's a pass. You know, the little quick jet sweep touch pass. That's
a pass. Like Henry's pass to Taylor.
Yeah, that's a pass. So there's ways where you get your quarterback going, some yardage, a lot of screens. You know, Deshaun Watson, when he would see me blitz, he would throw a quick little smoke screen out to the receiver. That's a pass for 4 yards. You know, it's stuff like that. But those are completions that can be misleading. They're short running plays. These short passes are taking running plays now. And, I mean, it's a passing league, and I think it's trending toward that. There's more receivers on the field. There's more DBs on the field. The pass rushers are smaller. The linebackers are smaller. The safety's got to be able to cover. Most teams have a corner playing safety. It's just the trend of the league. The league's getting smaller and faster, and the rules, they want more points, which is why I think what happens is, in the emphasis of the preseason, which is so hard to watch, is all these helmet-to-helmet penalties, all these pass interference penalties. Games are taking 4 hours. They kind of, like I told you they would, they kind of tinker that down a little bit, but DB's got to get back to using their hands, get back to, because in the preseason, that's costing them games, these pass interferences and stuff. So now you don't want to get penalties, and you're letting guys catch the ball. So I think the season's got to settle down. And like always, defense will win championships, though.
The emphasis videos that the NFL sent out, a lot of it, the focus was on the helmet rule.
Yeah.
Within that video, though, there is an emphasis on contact after 5 yards for defensive backs. They say they want to put an end to it. Mm-hmm. Have you noticed that? Like, is it any different than last year?
Yeah, it is. I noticed it a lot more in the preseason because I think they try to throw so many flags in the preseason to deter you from doing it. But yeah, they're going to call that. If they see a receiver get hit at 5-6 yards, and it could be, you know, he can run into you. But they don't want to see receivers get hit down the field, and they want to have, you know, that's just, I do see an emphasis, especially over the last couple of years. When I first came to the league in 2013, there's been a lot more ticky-tacky calls just in general.
The helmet thing's been a non-issue, especially for you guys, but generally league-wide. Big point of emphasis, big controversy during the preseason. Are you surprised, or did you think it might settle out this way?
I had to. The ratings were probably bad. People didn't understand. I mean, people don't understand some of these calls in the preseason and the fines, like $20,000 for what? So I just, obviously, as a league, you have to say, we're playing a game here. We wanted to make it look entertaining. So, you know, you have all these Hall of Fame players coming back saying, like, how's that? You know, I think it was like a sack. Somebody sacked a quarterback in the preseason, and if you land on the quarterback now, it's a penalty.
Did you
see the Clay Matthews call?
I didn't. I heard about it. I haven't seen the play. So, yeah, I just,
I don't know what you're supposed to do anymore.
Yeah, that was a hopeless situation.
He hit him with his shoulder, and I guess body lean made it look like
they
he was
said
putting
he burped
his
him.
It's ridiculous. So it's,
but, I mean, if
it's
he ridiculous. Burped him, he burped him an inch.
Even Kirk Cousins admitted it shouldn't have been a penalty.
Yeah. So I think that's why they had to tone it down a little bit, because we're talking about stuff like that.
But the league came out and said they got that call right.
Yeah.
You need to see this hit, because as a defender, I don't know what I would do anymore on how I'm supposed to go in and hit the quarterback and put some heat on him as he releases the football.
There was a play in the Giants-Cowboys game where Eli Manning took off and started running in the middle of the field, and I think it was Jalen Smith, the Cowboys,
Yeah.
hit him hard. I mean, shoulder, perfect form tackle. And I found myself waiting for the flag.
You just look for it.
It was a perfect hit, but he hit Eli Manning so hard, I'm thinking, oh, they're going to flag this.
Yeah, I was surprised.
Then you go back and watch, and it's like, it's just a perfect form tackle. And Eli Manning's not accustomed to running with the ball, so it looked awful when he got hit on that play. But it was perfect textbook.
That's a good
football
line of questioning. Like, if you run with the receiver on an incomplete pass, not even that you break. I mean, once a play is over and the ball's on the ground, is it your instinct to immediately look and see if there's a flag? Do you think, well, that seems like a good result. Now let's turn and find out if it really is.
No, that's like giving guilty hands. Like when you hold, don't put your hands up. Like I didn't hold. Right. So if you start looking for flags all the time, you're going to find some flags. So now about my business and be extremely shocked if they ever call holding on me, because I never hold.
When
of course not.
When you're in a meeting and a flag is being reviewed like that, are there times where the coaches say that calls BS? Like, don't do anything different.
A lot of times, yeah, because you know, it's a lot of human error. And as, you know, players, we make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. Refs make mistakes. And you can't change your game. I told you guys, I'm not going to change my game to try to – I got to stick with what got me here. Like, I cover and I do, I'm smart and use my instincts and do things, but I got to stick with what got me here. I can't constantly always reinvent myself to say, oh, I'm so afraid of getting a penalty. And then you don't play hard. And then you're not finishing plays. And then you're not – you know what I'm saying? You're so hard on trying not to get DPI – that you're giving up catches. Like, you gotta, at the end of the day, you gotta take the good with the bad. Sometimes you can't go Brandon Browner on him. My guy got 40 penalties 1 year, but you gotta sit there. And sometimes I tell you, sometimes penalties set the tone and not all of them are bad. And if you're playing hard, I think Jacksonville, they probably led the league with penalties last year. I don't know, but they've also had the best defense. So it comes with it, you know?
How surprised were you that Houston allowed the clock to run off 17 seconds at the end of that game?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. We had a great call that took away everything. Another great call by Dean Pease that took away everything. They wanted to run all out cuts and throw the ball out of bounds. You know, get out, you know, get another 10 yards, then get in Hail Mary range or whatever, or field goal range, right? And we took that away. So then I think Deshaun Watson went back to his normal self and like, I'm trying to make a big play, and he's running around. And then at about 5-6 seconds, I said, we got to get back to the end zone. And it went from like, try to stop, you know, a 15-10 yard route to get in field goal range to like, if they catch it, game's over. So we all just started sprinting to the end zone. So I just think that showed that we are the more disciplined team, the more prepared team in that moment. And I think one thing that Dean Pease said to me or said to us about 2-minute defense that really stuck with me, and I repeated it to the guys, was that, you know, you see so many times in 2-minute that the craziest things happen. You see games have miracle finishes, right? You see DBs just drop easy interceptions. You know, you just see kind of flukish things happen all the time. And he just said, you know, half the battle of 2-minute defense is having the confidence to make the play to end the game. You're so worried. Sometimes people are worried about, I don't want to lose the game for the team and I don't want to do this, that they don't have the confidence to make the play to end the game. Just have the confidence to execute like any other play to win the game. And, you know, not everybody is capable of taking those clutch shots and stuff like that, but just have the confidence to be out there in 2 minutes. So that's what he told us. And I think, as a team, we took away what they wanted to do. We got back to the end zone, took away what he wanted to do next, and now there's no time left, and he throws the ball, and DeAndre Hopkins made an unbelievable catch. I did not see this man anywhere near the ball. And like Spider-Man, he comes out and swings and catches the ball again, and it helped his stats, but the game was over, and I knew the game was over, and I started celebrating. So I just think that Deshaun Watson didn't execute there. He went back to his instincts of trying to make a great play, which a lot of us, you know, was trying to do, but I think we were the more disciplined team in that moment. That's why I feel like our coaches had us more prepared.
It's the Midday 180 served up by Wendy's every Tuesday. It's the Logan Ryan Show throughout the football season. Great to have Logan back for season number 2.
We just learned that if not Rutgers, maybe Iowa would have been. You said it was in your top 5?
Yeah, I was definitely up there. I was a big recruiting hotbed for South Jersey guys where I'm from, and we were talking about Sean Green, grew up playing the same Little League program as him, so it's kind of funny. Me and my dad's here telling stories about him in Little League.
Logan's dad, Lester's in studio.
Yeah, gave us some good data. What were the other three in that top 5?
Yeah, probably Rutgers, Michigan State, Stanford.
Yeah. Notre Dame?
That's pretty Shiano, good top five.
Yeah,
that's
Shiano, a really good top five. Yeah, I was a four-star, man. I was pretty good in high school. I tell people I peaked in high school. Now I'm just kind of I'm maintaining. Yeah, it's just how, you guys just saw me at quarterback, man.
Well, and your dad was explaining.
Not as good as Byard, apparently.
The South Jersey connection with Iowa. What exactly is the connection again? A former high school coach?
Yeah,
there?
So shout out to Darryl Wilson. Probably not listening, but that's my guy. So Darryl Wilson, who coached at Iowa, he recruited a lot of South Jersey guys. So his dad, what was his dad's name? Darryl Wilson Sr.? Yeah, so his dad coached my father in high school. So his son was recruiting me.
Give your dad some props here on his defensive mindset. Or little
his
league.
Coaching success. His so, final yeah, year. So I heard his final year was pretty good.
Yeah, so I've played in elite defense since I was little. My father was my defensive coordinator growing up. And my eighth grade, seventh grade year, we went undefeated, unscored upon. No one probably crossed the 30-yard line on us. We won every game at least 30 by 35 points. So we had a dominant defense when no one scores a point all year.
And when you got up big, the lineup got shuffled.
So, yeah, when we got up big, we weren't one of those people to, you know, put 90 points on people. So I would have 5 touchdowns or whatever I would have. And my father and the coaches would make all the skill players go to linemen. And our offensive linemen go to run the ball because they were allowed to back then. And it kept everyone happy. Kept my big boys in front of me. They got to get some carries, and I got to block for them. So it kept everybody happy, and I think it was a closed group. And the crazy thing is, I think we only had like 15 players on the team.
And this league was like a wrestling league based on you guys had to literally make weight?
Well, it's funny you said a wrestling league. We had, I think, like 5 Division I wrestlers on that team.
so they were familiar with
You know, New Jersey's a good wrestling state. There's a lot of good wrestlers. So about 4 or 5, I think, from my team when I was 11 years old, all went Division I. I obviously went Division I for football. And we had about 4 or 5 guys go to Iowa, Nebraska, Penn
Iowa's
State
the top
to wrestle.
Top of the world, right, for wrestling.
Yeah,
but you had to get down to 125?
Everybody had to make weight. That was it. It
was
no
was
like
it hard for you?
No, I can go on there with a cheesesteak and make it. I was skinny. I would be like 120 pounds and I was a skinny kid. So our bigger guys, they had to get under 125.
You had a UFC over here.
You had to make weight once. So you had
Conor
to make,
McGregor.
Yeah, you can get that 10 pounds of water back. So, yeah, I've seen some guys, my brother, had to throw in a trash bag and run some laps. That's just how it was back then.
Just
I'm sure.
Make it at the beginning sauna. Of the season?
I mean, nowadays, you know, you can't do that. And I'm sure there'll be all type of, that'll be all over Facebook.
We're going to see if you tell this story as well as your dad just told it to us. Tell us about the encounter with your brother and Sean Green in practice one day.
All right, so my brother is playing in my brother's, what, a year or two younger, 3 years older than me, but a year or two younger than Sean Green at the time. And I've seen Sean Green, who's a Tennessee Titan, Doak Walker winner. So I seen Sean Green, we play for the same Little League program, but I'm much younger. So my brother misses weight. So he doesn't want to run in the trash bag like we told him to. And he's overweight by a pound or two. So at that, back in the day, you had two options. You either had to move up and play with the older kids at a higher weight, much higher than what you are. And that's a big difference when you're that young. Or you got to retire and hang your cleats up. So my brother, of course, didn't retire yet. So he goes up and he goes to Sean Green's team. And the first day of hitting drills, that's back when you're in line, you're counting like, who am I going to? Oh, I'm 3 back. Oh, no, that's Sean Green. Let me get number 4. Let me get number 2. And Sean Green's an absolute child prodigy at football. Monster. So first day, my dad's coaching me and the little guys. We were probably 80 pounds. And they run down and my brother's got a bloody nose. Probably broken face mask from his hitting drill with Sean Green. And he didn't quit, though. He went back in there, and then, you know, Ryan's aren't quitters. We might get knocked down, but we don't quit. And he stuck to it. So that's our Sean Green story for the day.
Ryan's aren't quitters. Vontae Davis. Vontae Davis has a history of tweeting about how loserish it is to quit, and he quit at halftime.
That's a good parlay.
What do you guys think about that story?
I got a lot of respect. I like Vontae Davis as a player, and I've talked to him a lot before the games, but that I have no respect for that. That's just not me at all. And you don't quit on your teammates like that. You don't even quit you don't retire during a season. You got to finish the year. That's what you signed up for. So I couldn't imagine someone doing that on our team. It's almost funny that he did that, but that's not cool. And,
Well, and the response to it was, clearly, he made an emotional decision and decided to walk away from his team. But afterward, it was, oh, this is no disrespect to my teammates, the Bills. I just wanted to help the team because physically I can't do it anymore. So I stepped away from it. It's convenient. You also could just get waived if you can't do it physically anymore, right? That's the natural progression of things if you're not fast enough.
Well, yeah, he must have been having, I don't know what the stat, he must have had a bad day. But
about half.
Yeah,
Bills have had a bad start to the season overall.
Yeah, they have. They have. But now here's the thing about it. you only get to dress what, 46 players?
Yeah.
That is so few. That is so few to play a game. I think it should be more personally, but we only dress four corners. Four. And we play with three corners every play. And we have LeSean Sims on reserve. And LeSean Sims and most of us play every special teams. Byard's throwing the pass to Cruikshank. We don't have another guy to just go do PP. Like our all-pro safety does that. Kenny Vaccaro and most of us are on kickoff coverage. I'm on punt return. But me and Malcolm are on punt return blocking for Adoree. You know, and it's like 98 degrees probably in Jacksonville and we're playing that many snaps. So to have had just if I just said one day, hey, I'm done, guys. You guys only got three corners to play the whole rest of the game. No one can get hurt. And, you know, and you're
hanging them out to dry.
Yeah, you're hanging your guys out to dry. It's just not enough players for you to do that. I remember when I went to Rutgers and I looked at the depth chart, you got like 100 guys on the team, like 80 players and, you know, 85 scholarship players in college and then like 30 walk-ons. And I remember I was like the sixth team corner. Like I was the 12th corner on the depth chart, like 12th. Had to work my way up.
I just had to check to see if the Bills were at home. They were at home, so it's not like you had to fly home alone at halftime.
You imagine being a fan, just like you can see out by the parking lot, and it's like, oh, there goes Vontae Davis in his SUV headed home. Start of the third quarter. Hey. He's done.
Coming up,
enough of it.
We've got the pick six, Logan. We've got to get into this, and we'll preview a bit of Jacksonville.
Real quick, though, Logan, if I said the numbers 55 and 14, does that mean anything to you? That was the score between Kansas and Rutgers this week.
Oh.
55-14 Jayhawks.
Wow.
Beatty at Kansas, I think, was 3-34 in his career at Kansas heading into that game. Your thoughts on the Jayhawks win over Rutgers?
I think we got to transition. Is it commercial break time?
We'll be back after these words from our sponsor.
Final segment of the Logan Ryan Show. We got pick six coming up. Logan, Jacksonville last week, they threw on first down 63% of the time. Do you look into numbers like that? Because I think they ran more in week one compared to what they matched up with against New England in week two. But I mentioned this earlier in the show. I'm watching that game last night, went back and watched Jacksonville, New England. It's the first time I can remember them putting the ball in Bortles' hands to say, go make a play, and not relying on the run game to set up anything they were doing offensively.
Yeah, I haven't watched the game on film yet to give my expert.
He played great. Bortles did.
He played well. He definitely played well, and every year is a new year, and he looks pretty good this year. So, you know, we're going to have our work cut out for us, but we're going to go out there and, you know, and bring it, and there's going to be some good defenses playing and, you know, a lot of good running backs. It's going to be a good game. It's going to be a really good game. I think it's going to be a tough game, a tough division game like most of them are.
I don't remember this far back to last year's game in Jacksonville, but I remember that you had close to 10 tackles in that game. And you're always in on the mix for the run and run support. You're fine doing that. But is this game a bit more physical matchup-wise for you than the average week-to-week game because of what Jacksonville does offensively?
Yeah, I mean, they have a big running backs, and they want to establish the run game. You know, they want to establish the run game. It's, you know, you don't see them. I mean, last week you did, but you don't see them throw it around the yard too often. They want to establish the run game to set up their pass game. And we're very similar. And we need to do a better job, but we're going to be a team that's really good against stopping the run. So this is like a battle of strengths, and that's what it is. And I think it's going to be a lot of hand it off and who could set the tone and play that old school football. And we went down there in Jacksonville last year and did a good job of it, coming off I think we started 0-1, and you know, sky was falling. We went back there and got a big win before they were Jacksonville. Now they're Jacksonville, right? So every year is a new year, like I say. So we got to go out there and establish our identity of what type of defense we want to be, and you got to do it consistently.
I think you're going to wear those damn light blue jerseys down there.
You don't like them?
You can't see them.
The numbers.
Did you watch film of yourself in those uniforms?
Yeah, I know what
I
look
like. Did you
see
it? Yeah, I know. I know what you look like too. But some of that, you know,
yeah, the
some
numbers
of the guys
are a little thin. Yeah, I love the light blue color though. Oh well, yeah,
it's funny. It's funny because I've asked a lot of you guys about the helmets, and I've said, "Are the helmets hotter?" And everybody said, "No, the helmets aren't hotter." But they're not wearing light blue in Miami and Jacksonville by mistake. They're wearing it because it's hotter to be in dark blue. So everybody says the helmets aren't hotter, but it's not a coincidence that they're wearing light blue instead of dark blue in Florida. So the helmets are definitely hotter.
I think that has something to do with solid material versus clothes.
I was like, the helmets, they could have...
I don't want to get into the science of this, but I don't think it really matters when it's a helmet on top of you.
I would bet money that a dark helmet in the heat is hotter than a white helmet.
May rain
I'm,
on
I'm gonna,
Sunday,
I'm going to leave it to the you experts that are wearing the helmets
on
Sunday.
If you could put the
Sunday.
Thermostat in my helmet, Paul, and equipment lets
don't
you
don't tell him that. He's going to do that.
I need to put one in a white helmet,
put the thermometer popping out of my helmet out there so you get a heat index.
You see the mercury rising.
We'll make it like a turkey thing. It'll pop up when you're ready to eat.
Right, exactly.
Oh, here's something else, Paul. Logan, here's something Paul brought up last week that we discussed. He says that it's a possible visual conflict with the Texans and Titans helmets being the same color. Now, we brought up tons of examples. White helmets on white helmets, red helmets on red helmets, all across the league. Silver helmets on silver helmets.
Yep. We happened to be at the pro shop, so he was pulling out the mini
helmets. Was this a problem for you during the game, or do you think it was a problem for quarterbacks?
No, I knew my guys. I knew my guys pretty well.
I think Adoree has those helmets to thank for that interception. Deshaun got very confused by the helmets. In hindsight, it was not the observation that came to fruition. Now, Hutton, we told to use a possible visual conflict in your high school broadcast. Did you manage to get that in there?
I did not work that into the high school football broadcast. I'll work it in this week.
You know why Adoree got a pick, though, and played a great game?
Well, he jumped to the moon, for one.
He did. Coach Coombs, little nugget here for all my young DBs that are listening. Wear the color gloves of your opponent's jersey. Harder to see holding, harder to see where your hands are. So it's hard to see when you're pulling cloth or anything. If they're wearing blue, we might wear blue gloves. They wear red, we might wear red gloves. You never know.
So we can expect white gloves.
So he was holding, you say?
On Sunday?
No, maybe Watson didn't see that his hands were close. I don't know. Adoree tried it and he got a pick. That's all I know.
Possible visual conflicts, Paul. There you go.
Quarterback's trying to something.
You were looking at the wrong body part.
It is time for Logan Ryan's Pick 6.
It's the Pick 6 with Logan Ryan.
Intercepted, and there he goes. Logan Ryan going to take this one for a touchdown. Picked off, taking it all the way back for the touchdown is Logan Ryan.
So, Logan, here we sit on another Tuesday, which just happens to be National Cheeseburger Day. Where's your go-to spot for a good burger?
Oh, you guys know that I cut out... actually, no. My wife had a great burger last night, so I'm actually going to answer this one. Emmy Squared. Emily loves pizza up down there in the Gulch, right by Sunda and all that.
Don't know it.
Check it out. The old 404 Kitchen. You know how 404 Kitchen went across the street?
Yep.
That pizza place in there, they have the best burger in Nashville. My wife had it last night. She said it was the best burger. That's what they claim.
We will trust Ashley on that.
I will always mention Rotiers in this conversation.
Yes. And Gabby's and Melrose.
But I was a big Five Guys guy.
And Wendy's.
Back when I ate burgers.
You miss burgers?
I don't. I don't know why.
You do.
I don't.
You do.
I don't.
There was a pause there.
Yeah. He's looking longingly, like wistfully.
Discipline. Bring a Super Bowl home. No burgers.
We're not saying you lack discipline. We're saying you lack burgers.
I do lack burgers. But you know what? We had Burger Fight yesterday, right? And my parents both vegetarians. And they love the Beyond Burger they have there, the vegan burger. And Charity Morgan, another great burger. Charity Morgan, Derek Morgan's wife, makes a great vegan burger.
She's got control of that locker room.
She does. Yeah, I'm going to have to see if she'll cater in here one day. What's the best purchase that you've ever made?
An iPad for my daughter. It just keeps her entertained. My 3-year-old's all over the place. We got our iPad. We give her screen time. We make her have screen. I know most parents.
Mandatory screen time.
Yeah, she needs a mandatory quiet time with her iPad, and she wants to be a YouTube star. And oh, man, she sees everything on this kid's YouTube. It's crazy how much she learns from YouTube. And she says, you know, I'll give a quick little story. So I do little YouTube videos with her, and we'll show off whatever we can find around a comb or whatever we can find around the house. And she'll say, hey, guys, it's Avery here, and welcome to my show. And then she said, make sure you like and subscribe below. And she's 3 years old, and she says, like and subscribe below. That's how much YouTube my daughter watches.
Can we like and subscribe? What's the channel?
Well, we're not.
Is it private channel?
We're not.
Okay. Not advertising.
When you get to that point, you know where to come.
Logan already regrets telling that story.
Too many weirdos in the world.
People are searching. Yeah, wait till a naked one shows up in your house.
If you had a boat, what would you name it?
Oh.
Oh, man. If I had a boat... So my nickname, you know, when I train in Arizona, they call me two names. play on two chains because I got two first names. So it's two names, two rings. I got two Super Bowl rings as well.
Nice. What's a great quote that has stuck with you over the years?
My dad's good for this. We got a great quote. He's a quote guy.
He said it's your show.
You. You. Yeah. He's considering himself off this hour. That?
That's not a good quote.
Ask for help.
I got it right here. A bend in the road isn't necessarily the end of the road unless you fail to make the turn. So sometimes in life, there's going to be some bends in the road, and it's not the end of the road. You just got to be able to make a turn and adjust and go along with whatever life might throw you. It's not perfect, but you got to be able to be flexible.
Where's that from?
I don't know. Seen it somewhere.
The philosopher.
Yeah.
What's a hobby that you wish you had the time or money to start?
Well, a hobby that I had the time and money to start. I mean,
what hobby? Let's be honest with his paycheck.
Right.
What hobby could he not have?
Karma.
I want to know.
That's why I said time, Chad. If you were to listen,
I want to know the.
Hey, get out of my pockets. Get out of my pockets.
What hobby? You know, could he not afford? I'm trying to think of what that would be.
It's a time.
Castle hopping.
Maybe in a couple years. You know, when I move to safety and I don't have to run as much and life's easier for me out there on the field, I'll start my DJ career. I feel like DJing is just, you know, that whole side of me. I got that whole, my dad plays a lot. He's a DJ at our family barbecues, and I think I'll go out there and DJ these Nashville clubs. And we don't even got any clubs in Nashville, these Nashville bars, and, you know, have a good time.
What would your DJ name be?
Oh, man.
Two names, two rings.
Yeah, there you go.
DJ two names.
DJ two names.
Pretty what good.
Logan will have his own bar next to like Dirk Bentley's place on Broadway.
Little two names.
No, I'm too old for the little wave. Wayne, that's about it.
Little two names.
We have a DJ roaming the halls here at Cumulus also.
Yeah.
Taking up a lot of parking spots.
C-Dub. He's got a mobile DJ unit that he's got taking up 8 spots out there in the parking lot.
Makes
right
me
now.
Take the shuttle to work.
Logan Ryan, he joins us every Tuesday for the Logan Ryan Show. 2 weeks from today, we will be inside the Music City Performance Studio. We're going to do that once a month throughout the season where you can join us in studio. Always a lot of fun, and we'll have lunch and different things there. So be looking for that on Twitter and how you can sign up. But really looking forward to all season with Logan coming in on Tuesdays. Appreciate that.
Always great fun.
Great to have you back.
Good luck this week. If you guys want to wear a costume, I know it's not costume time yet live in studio, but if you ever want to wear a costume, that'll be fun.
Oh, and I didn't get to ask you about
that. We can plan that for the Halloween show.
I didn't get to ask you about the Earl Campbell jersey, but we'll get to that, and you'll give us another one next week.
So people ask me to come back on that. With 16 new jerseys, huh? Yeah. I got to go on Fanatics.